Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. According to humorist and storyteller Don J. Fraser, storytelling is one of the most powerful and engaging forms of communication. She says stories have the power to build bridges between people from different backgrounds and beliefs. Her stories often explore her relationship with her twin brother who has Down syndrome, as well as her Trinidad and Tobago heritage. She's in Vermilion today for an evening program at USD on the art of storytelling in leadership, and she's with us here in the studio. Don, thanks so much for stopping by and joining us on Dakota Midday.
Well, thank you, Carl. It's a pleasure to be here.
And you came in from California?
Actually, I came in from Brooklyn, New York.
From Brooklyn, New York.
Yes, via California.
Okay, so the weather wasn't that much of a big change.
It dropped a little bit coming in from New York, but, you know, from California, it's a big shift.
How often are you on the road and giving lectures and talking and telling your stories?
Pretty much all the time. It's one of the things I love being a storyteller and a performer is actually going to different places like here and being able to see new people, experience new cultures, and get to share my story, get to hear stories, and understand the reciprocity and actually building community together.
So storytelling is a two-way street sometimes.
Absolutely. I think if anything, you can't really do much without an audience. So if you're a storyteller, you need to know who your audience is and what are they possibly interested in, what are their motivations, what are they trying to get out of it. Because even though it is a story, there is an aspect of what do you want me to learn from this particular story or what is the moral of the story? Do you want me to be happy? Do you want me to be sad? So there is a reciprocity in terms of the storyteller and what their goal is and story listener and what they're hoping to achieve by the end of the story.
When you're telling a story, do you have different goals or do you have the same goal? I imagine it depends on who you're talking to and where you're at and why.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, one of the fascinating things about storytelling nowadays is it's been translated into business. So, you know, people can use it for business objectives in order to try and promote a sale of a product or business themselves. Or it might be a personal goal just to entertain and to inspire, to persuade. So one of my specialties is actually looking at the way that stories can build bridges by persuading and engaging and really being motivational, leading people with their own vision of what you want to do in the future and what you can do with your own future.
Now, the building bridges aspect of storytelling, I mentioned that earlier. You also said it was one of the most powerful, engaging forms of communication. What is it about storytelling? Is this just really at the basis of how we communicate with each other, just telling stories? Is that what we're doing when we're talking?
It absolutely is. If you think about all the different ways that we communicate, the way that we're communicating now, we're telling our own stories as a way of understanding who you are, who I am, and as a way of actually starting to build bridges. If I get a little more about your story, what you're motivated by, what you're inspired by, I might also be inspired by some of those same things, or I might be drawn to a particular part of your story that inspires me to listen to you more, or perhaps you want me to take action. Perhaps you want me to go out and do something for MLK Day of Service. So by sharing the things that you've been motivated by, I might be able to get on board with your campaign. And so that is just the way that a lot of storytelling works nowadays. It can be for different objectives. It can be for motivational. It can be for business. It can just be to entertain. And it's powerful when you actually can do it well and do it right.
When did you start telling stories?
You know, oddly enough, I didn't realize I've been telling stories for years now. And I didn't realize it until I recently started attending The Moth in New York City and started seeing that people were sharing their stories openly, 5-6 minutes, getting on a stage and sharing their public stories and slamming them, meaning that there would be judges in the audience and people would be judged on their stories. And at first I didn't quite understand how that worked, but it was actually looking at the model of having a beginning, a middle, and an end. So having a full arc to a story, not just an anecdote where you tell like a small snippet, but actually having a full narrative of a journey. And from there I started realizing that I've kind of been doing this a long time. I've been working in human rights, and I've been working in entertainment and media, and I've always been a storyteller, and I didn't quite know it until I started listening to stories on public radio.
Now, for you as a storyteller, do you know when you've got a good story? I mean, do you have to be telling it a few times and seeing how people react before you know that you have something that's good?
Well, that's the funny thing about it is sometimes something crazy might happen, and at the time it's not funny. It's not interesting, and it's not a story. But as you start to tell it more and more, as you start to just talk about it with your friends, your family, I can realize, or you will realize, that it can be a story. Like, for example, this past Christmas, as you mentioned, my family's from Trinidad and Tobago. I currently live in Brooklyn, and where my mom lives in California, she always requests that I bring back some type of Caribbean food from New York. So I'll be traveling with, like, Jamaican patties and, like, salt fish and roti and all these different dishes that we can get in the Caribbean because my mom can't easily get it in California. And so I was sitting with my friend. I was telling her, you know, every single year my mom makes me bring home this food for Christmas time. And I was so happy one year because I didn't have to bring home – this was last year. I didn't have to bring home any food because I was going to Trinidad for Christmas break. And I was telling my friend I was so excited about it. And she's like, well – are you sure you're not going to bring anything? I was like, I don't know. So I called my mom, and she asked me to bring a 30-pound turkey on my backpack through immigration to Trinidad and Tobago. And it was funny because as I was telling her the story, I was so mad because I didn't think that I would have to bring any food like I always do. But this particular year, I had to bring even more food to the family that we were feasting with in Trinidad. So at the time, it didn't seem funny. When I was telling my friend how annoyed I was with having to bring back all this food, I had more food than I had luggage. And so going through the process of packing this stuff up and just sharing this discourse with my friend, realized that this could be a funny story. And so from there, I actually started looking at the elements of, like, what actually happened, what my mom said, and then from there, started building in characters. So, like, for example, my mom, you know, she has a Trinidadian accent, so sometimes I mimic her accent and I talk like her. And other times I just talk like myself. And, you know, so there's always awesome ways of bringing in characters and building out plots from funny things that happen in our lives to recreate them for audiences to enjoy and to share.
So sounds like sometimes you don't even know when you have a good story. It takes telling the story to know that it's a good one.
Yeah, it takes really having those people in your life that you can just speak with freely and will be able to hear you out, and realizing that this could actually be story worthy. One of the sayings that they have at the Moth is, you know, hope you have a story worthy week. Mm-hmm. And it just means that something interesting might happen, something fascinating might happen, or something totally mundane and regular, but there will be some type of slight shift in your day, and that might be that moment where this might be a story worthy a time or a story worthy event or a week or whatever you may be in.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. My guest is Dawn J. Fraser. She's in Vermilion for a keynote address this evening at 7 o'clock at USD at the Munster Ballroom here on campus, talking about the art of storytelling in leadership. How easy is it to teach storytelling?
It really kind of depends. I think that some people are naturally raconteurs. They will automatically tell you stories of their life. They're able to open and share their heart, their guts, their glory. And other times it can be really difficult because we're not always all open to used to sharing our all. And one of the things about storytelling is we really try and focus on the change within us. Not the change that's happening in the outside world, but how have I changed? What have I learned? What wisdom have I learned that I can impart on my listener? And so it takes somebody sometimes who is a little bit more prone to be retrospective and introspective and thinking about their lives as somebody who can make a good storyteller, as opposed to those who maybe feel a little bit more closed off to thinking about their own journeys or haven't documented their own journeys or just thought about the way that they have changed. So student populations are always great because they're going through big transitions. They're trying to figure it out. They're taking a whole bunch of different classes. And part of that tapping into our natural curiosities is a fascinating process to see when you got something. You're like, yes, this is what I'm fascinated by. So working with student populations, which is one of my fortes, is always fun and wonderful because they do seem to get it. They do seem to want to try and figure out where they've been. Sometimes they've moved. Sometimes they've come from different backgrounds or different communities, and they really want to try and get ahead. So it's one of those great gold mine of populations to work with is just college students and faculty as well.
So storytelling helps us figure it out.
It helps us figure it out in a lot of ways. You know, today, one day after MLK Day, I was going back and I was listening to some of his speeches. And he was one of the ideal storytellers of the civil rights era. If you look at the way that his speeches went, there's a lot of ebb and flow between his dream and the current reality. At the time, the current reality was segregation and discrimination. But the dream was inequality and inclusion for all people. And so by sharing his dream, that was part of sharing his vision for his community with the world. And by sharing that vision, sharing that story of what he saw as a different future, where he saw black children and white children going to school together, that was all part of his narrative, his dream of what he saw was possible for a country that was amazing like the United States. So when you look at amazing orators and people who have been in positions of leadership, and you see the way that they've been able to articulate their own lives and their own history and their own vision for the future, it always goes back to, this is who I am, this is what I've experienced, and this is how I think that we can make change and make positive change in the world. And it comes from really being authentic about what is, what has been our experiences, what have we seen, what have we witnessed, and let's now move forward. Like, what's the next part of the story? How are we going to close out this chapter of life?
So storytelling, our own personal stories, sounds like no matter what sort of leadership, whether it's a social justice, Martin Luther King, or maybe you're running a company, that you can motivate people through your own personal stories.
Absolutely. And people are naturally just drawn to stories. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where if you've ever seen somebody who's a really great public speaker and you hear them tell their story, a lot of times people will just zone in to that moment where they're sharing something about themselves. It's nothing that you can read on Wikipedia, and it's nothing that you will necessarily know about this person, but they're sharing something personal about their lives. And there's just that power of the narrative. You know, we, from caveman era, people have been using stories to articulate certain goals or to articulate how to act, what is our moral compass. We look at stories as of passing on our heritage. We'll look at stories of understanding how to make decisions in face of uncertainty. So it applies to the way that we naturally communicate, and it applies to the way that we can also inspire others and lead others when things aren't all that great looking.
What has it meant to you to share stories of your life, whether it's your heritage, Trinidad and Tobago, or, as I mentioned, that you have a twin brother and he has Down syndrome. What has it meant to you to share these stories with other people?
It's actually been fascinating. My twin brother's name is Dwayne, and so I'm Don, and he's Dwayne. And by the time that we left to go to college, I went to UCLA, and he went to a transition to independent living program in Bakersfield, California. And so by the time that we were growing up, people didn't necessarily know. By the time we left from high school, people didn't know that I was a twin. And he had inspired me so much. I had learned about equality and what it really meant to try and raise two children as equals as much as possible. And so when we moved away to different cities, people didn't know that about me. And so once I started sharing about some of the stories of how he inspired me, some of our track and field stories, which I'll be sharing tonight on campus, it really became a way for me to talk about my own past, to talk about my own history, and to understand how I could also like influence people to talk more openly about issues like Down syndrome and disability and inability and disabilities. So it was one of those things that really was an eye-opening experience for me, because I was able to share with people my own experience and also be an advocate at the same time. And I didn't realize I could do that until I actually started sharing my story.
One of the stories that you tell, and this may be one that you're telling this evening, and I don't want to ruin your talk this evening, but this maybe to kind of tease people a little bit, is the story that you tell, because you wanted to be a runner when you went to UCLA.
Yep.
And you had an injury, and then you couldn't run, but your brother went to the Special Olympics, and
yes,
he had a different approach to competition than you did.
He did, and it was fascinating. I was sitting in the stands at UCLA looking down with my entire family, waiting for my twin brother to just crush the competition, because we were both so tight as a unit in track and field. And something happened during that particular race where he didn't win, and I was blown away. I was completely sidetracked. But it was also one of those moments that I started realizing that there was much more to my life than track and field. And that had never it had never occurred to me before that there could be a life outside of track. And so I actually ended up telling the story at a TED conference in New York City in October. And I'll also be sharing part of the story tonight. And the way that I've been able to share it is actually by going back and talking with my twin brother and asking him, like, oh, do you remember this? What were you thinking? What were you feeling? Because you want to try and get that story right as well. And so in my process of digging up information and talking to my twin brother, talking to my mom, talking to my other relatives, understanding what it was like for them to try and raise my twin brother and I as equals, as much as possible as equals, how that was, what were the challenges, and then what was my perspective. And so the UCLA track and field incident really was so timely because it put so much of my past, my present at that moment in time, and my future now of being a storyteller into perspective. It helped me understand my story, my narrative, why I was interested in equality rights, why I was interested in social justice issues, and what I could do with my voice and my power and my story beyond being a runner. So it was very empowering, it was very impactful, and I look forward to being able to share the full story later on tonight.
Well, finally, I'm wondering about, we all think we have our internal stories that we have inside our heads, but I'm wondering what the difference is from keeping them inside to then sharing them with other people, where you actually, what do we learn about ourselves from actually telling people these stories?
That's a great question. A lot of the people that I coach and that I work with, sometimes a story, when somebody starts to tell you a story and they might tear up a bit, a lot of times when somebody's tearing up or they're starting feeling really emotional, they are physically remembering those feelings of what happened in a particular incident. You know, maybe it was somebody died that was close to you, or maybe something else traumatic happened. And when you start to tell the story, you can physically feel that same way that you felt in those moments. And so sometimes that can be a very difficult process, and those stories maybe aren't quite ready to be told, at least not in public. And then other times it's just a wonderful time to just tell or try any story. And it really is the process of actually just getting it out and knowing the emotion, the emotional connectedness, the emotional through line of your story and what you want people to get out of it. I mean, for example, have you ever been in a talking to somebody and you're like, okay, what is the point of your story?
Yeah,
like, what are you trying to get me to say or to do? You know, people want to have some type of emotional response. They want to know, like, how do you want me to feel? Do you want me to laugh? Do you want me to learn a lesson about this? And so that's why the moral of the story or the takeaway of stories are so important, because people do want to feel those emotions, whatever that emotion might be it sad or depression or lesson or happy or joy or, all these different emotions that we feel. We want to be able to get to the core of that by the time you tell a full story. There's so many different perspectives and angles of storytelling that it's really just a fascinating and fun art to be a part of.
Well, Donna, thank you so much for taking the time to stop by our studios and join us on Dakota Midday.
Thank you, Carl. I appreciate it.
Don J. Fraser is a humorous storyteller and national speaker, and this evening at USD, she presents the program The Art of Storytelling in Leadership that begins at 7 o'clock this evening at the Munster University Center Ballroom.